today on Annenberg Radio News.
Right now in our economic crisis, education is all we have. For that to be taken away from us now, what else can we do? So that's why we're taking a stand right now.
Angry students storm a building at UCLA and surround the Board of Regents as the California budget crisis jeopardizes educational opportunities for California residents. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Thursday, November 19th, 2009. I'm Brittany Knotts. UCLA was swarming with protesters and police officers today as the University of California Board of Regents met to take two major policy decisions. The first was whether to join the LA County or to join with LA County to reopen Martin Luther King Jr. Hospital in South Los Angeles. The second was whether to increase UC student tuition fees by 32%. Timothy Beckworth is live on the phone from Westwood with the latest. Timothy?
Hey, Brittany. I'm here at Cobble Commons at UCLA, where the UC Board of Regents meeting was being held. Thousands of people had gathered here to protest the meeting, but after it was announced the Regents had approved the measure, things got kind of ugly. Students and protesters blocked every exit of the building. They were linking hands, screaming, and shouting. This lasted for a couple hours until a couple people left the building with a police escort. They were heading for a nearby van, but they were immediately hounded by protesters. They actually had to run into a nearby dorm room with police standing guard in front of that. So the protesters surrounded that building. They were shouting at the students watching from their windows to come downstairs and join them. A lot of students said they weren't going to leave until they got arrested. I saw police tackling protesters. I saw a girl pepper sprayed. There are still riot police walking around with rubber bullets trying to get people to go home. But most people have at this point, but a lot of people are still waiting to see what happens. Back to you, Brittany.
Thanks a lot, Tim. California residents have come to expect that the local UC system would provide a quality education for an affordable price. But with more hikes in tuition, students are outraged. Yesterday, students began an all-day vigil to protest the increases. We sent reporter Lauren Whaley to UCLA this morning to speak with students who were still demonstrating.
Hundreds of teachers, students, and staff from all over the state marched this morning at UCLA. They were carrying signs, beating drums, and chanting in protest against a budget decision being finalized today that threatens to increase tuition at all UC schools. By next fall, tuition could go up to $10,000. The protesters were mad and they were loud.
My name is Eddie Valencia and I'm a student at UCR, and I'm here because I believe that education should be prioritized.
I'm a PhD student at Berkeley, and I just think that education is the bloodline of the economy, of the culture of California. Yes, California's in an economic crisis, but they're cutting from the people who need it most.
My name is Matthew Gonzalez. I'm here because I'm a student at UCLA. They're cutting our majors, they're cutting our programs, they're taking our classes away from us, and they're charging us more money for it, and I'm not going to stand for it.
The decision-making UC Regents plan to ask the state for a $913 million state funding increase for the next fiscal year, with plans to cut freshman enrollment if the funding is not approved. Lauren Whaley, Annenberg Radio News.
The UC Board of Regents approved another major plan today. The board unanimously decided to partner with LA County to reopen Martin Luther King Jr. Hospital. If the measure is approved by the LA County Board of Supervisors, the once-troubled hospital could open by late 2012. The decision follows a $100 million donation by a pharmaceutical billionaire to help fund the hospital's reopening. Every day, two hate crimes are committed in Los Angeles County. Stephanie Guzman reports on the release of the Los Angeles Human Relations 2008 Hate Crime Report.
In May, Shanice Davey came home to find her house trash and spray-painted with the N-word.
In every room possible throughout the house, all the floors, the walls, the couches, the televisions, the dining room table, everything was spray-painted. With racial slurs.
The police said the incident was a hate crime committed by a Hispanic gang. It was one of the crimes counted in the Human Relations 2008 Hate Crime Report. It shows there was a high rate of hate crimes between African Americans and Latinos. But overall, hate crimes are down 4% in Los Angeles County. Most of the 728 hate crimes were racially motivated, followed by sexual orientation and religion. Sexual orientation hate crimes rose 21% and had the highest rate of violence. Amanda Suskin is with the Anti-Defamation League.
That spike that you saw in the gay and lesbian community. We definitely correlate to the influence of the debate about Proposition 8.
The largest number of concentrated hate crimes was in the San Fernando Valley. Sheriff Baca delivered a stern message.
If you're having a hard time living in the United States, in particular Los Angeles County, to people who like to commit hate, I suggest you move someplace else.
A full summary of the hate crime report can be found at www.lahumanrelations.org. Stephanie Guzman, Annenberg Radio News.
A new study shows that 100,000 LA residents between the ages of 16 and 24 are not in school and out of work. Mayor Villaraigosa responded to the numbers today, speaking to students and educators at City Hall. He emphasized the importance of staying in high school. He announced who will receive stimulus money for a program that will help young adults earn a high school diploma and find a career.
I believe that LA is the city of America's hope and future. But that hope and future lies in a book, lies in a school, lies in the hearts and minds of people who understand that they have the skill set to succeed.
The study was conducted by Northeastern University. It concludes that dropouts who can find work will make $6,000 less per year than high school graduates. Governor Schwarzenegger visited the 6th Avenue Elementary School in Exposition Park this morning. He took a tour and talked about his push for education reform. LaTanya Kirkland followed him on his visit.
Governor Schwarzenegger met with teachers, students, and school administrators about his push to apply for Race to the Top funds from the federal government. Race to the Top was designed by President Obama and U.S. Education Secretary Arne Duncan. The model requires schools to track student progress and teacher performance through data. If chosen, California could receive up to $700 million in federal funding. The governor says California schools are in need of reform.
There are so many schools that are still failing our students in California, and we want to improve those schools.
Blair Taylor, president of the Los Angeles Urban League, says Race to the Top is necessary to best serve LA students.
And so there's been courageous leadership up here that is fighting the status quo, that says the status quo today, particularly for young students of color, just is not good enough. We're not willing.
The deadline for Race to the Top funds is January 19th, 2010. LaTanya Kirkland, Annenberg Radio News.
And now for the weather. Tonight, expect it to get a little chilly with a low of 52 degrees. Tomorrow, it will be partly cloudy with a high of 68 and an evening low of 53. For the weekend, expect partly cloudy skies with highs from the mid-60s to 70 degrees. Later on Annenberg Radio News, I spoke with a breast cancer survivor about her experience with the disease and why she thinks early screening is so important. The Don't Dump on LA campaign got a report card today. It measures the first year of the city's two-year project to prevent illegal dumping and clean up whatever has been left behind. CJ Doblo visited South LA neighborhoods to see some of the results herself.
In one LA neighborhood near Century and Avalon, the trash on the street used to be out of control. Jonathan Lopez, who works at a nearby cell phone store, has noticed a change in the alleyway behind the store.
If you're going down the alley, you're not going to hit nothing, or there's no dead dog around, or any sofas laying down.
Dead dogs? Lopez laughs as he recalls what it was like.
They don't pass by covering their nose or nothing.
He's right. In the alleyway behind him, there's only one mattress there. No dogs, living or dead. South LA resident Roshan Hicks remembers what her street was like last year. She and her sister describe a neighborhood that had rats and fleas.
Large appliances, beds, bed frames, just bags of trash that, you know, who knows what's in it. Tires and all kinds of things be dumped here.
Hicks credits the city's Don't Dump on LA program for the cleanup. The city of LA has targeted these neighborhoods to crack down on illegal dumping. City Council member Jan Perry knows residents take pride in their neighborhood.
This is their front yard, you know, just because they live on a street that's sort of dead ends and curves on into the freeway doesn't mean that they should be disrespected.
The city of LA received a $500,000 grant from the California Integrated Waste Management Board to target problem sites around Los Angeles. They have used the money to clean up key areas, prosecute major offenders, and to encourage residents to report illegal dumping. The city attorney's office says illegal dumping is now down by over 50%. Councilmember Bernard Parks says that the money has been put to good use since the program's start last year.
Over 1.5 million square feet of graffiti have been painted out. Almost 3,000 bags of trash have been picked up. Over 3,000 students have been educated about the ills of dumping in the community. That's just a short time period of how we've used this grant money to impact the community.
At a news conference today, city officials helped the LA Public Works Department load a mattress and other bags of trash into a dump truck in city resident Hicks' neighborhood. Hicks says the program is a start. Still, some residents who didn't want to be recorded note some problems with inconsistent pickups. Councilmember Perry and other city officials acknowledge that the program isn't perfect, but they stress that the word needs to get out. If you want to report illegal dumping in LA, call 311. This is CJ Doblo, Annenberg Radio News.
The Martin Luther King Jr. Hospital is one step closer to reopening as a full-fledged medical facility. As we reported earlier, the University of California has reached a deal with the county. Leilani Albano has reaction to the announcement.
Supervisor Mark Ridley Thomas was met with cheers in front of a packed room at MLK Hospital today.
This man had provided the kind of leadership in that room that led to, which I could not believe, Mark, was that a unanimous vote? A unanimous!
He arrived straight from a meeting with the UC Regents, who announced this morning that it will help bring back the facility.
This is awesome and off the chain, and yes, we can.
Under the agreement, the county will construct an inpatient care hospital, an additional outpatient care facility, and emergency room. The UCs will provide medical staff, while the county will provide funding for it. Ridley Thomas says South LA needs the hospital.
People often have to be hospitalized, and they need a good, safe, high-quality facility in which that can take place. Martin Luther King Hospital will be such an option.
Currently, the hospital provides a small array of outpatient care services, including women's care and surgical care, but no inpatient or trauma care. Its Level 1 Trauma Care Unit gained national recognition in the 1990s for providing care for gunshot wound victims in the Iraq War. But the hospital closed its doors in 2007 after it lost its accreditation, as well as widely publicized deaths at the facility. Dan Rosenfeld is Senior Deputy for Economic Development for Mark Ridley Thomas's office. He says the county's partnership with the University of California will be giving the hospital the added boost that it needs.
That's the change. They're teaming up with a blue chip, you know, impeccably regarded institution that will provide medical staff, that will provide operational and policy oversight, and will enforce the standards that will make this a world-class hospital.
The announcement of the reopening was welcomed by South LA residents who have been struggling without a full-service hospital for 2 years.
We need a hospital in this area. Everybody's going everywhere else. You know, it takes too long.
Among them is Ida Evans of Compton. She's been coming to the hospital for physical therapy after suffering a stroke that left her paralyzed on her entire right side. With the new facilities, she says she can go to MLK if her condition worsens.
Hopefully I don't have a cardiac arrest, but if I do, then this one will be reopened and won't have to go so far.
The additional facilities may help. But the county has yet to construct a Level 1 trauma center that can accommodate patients with more serious injuries. The Board of Supervisors is expected to give its final approval for the reopening on December 1. Leilani Albano, Annenberg Radio News.
There is a controversy over a U.S. task force report which changed the recommended minimum age for women to get a mammogram. Instead of getting mammograms starting at age 40, the task force says it should be 50. Most oncologists and cancer specialists say the new guidelines should be ignored. Earlier today, I spoke with Rhonda Santifer, the founder of Celebrate Life Cancer Ministry, an organization that works to provide support for cancer patients. Santifer talked about the report and her own experience surviving breast cancer. There was that recent U.S. Preventative Services Task Force report that said that the minimum age for mammograms should be raised from 40 to 50 and that self-exams shouldn't be done at all. What's your reaction to that?
If the whole purpose is to save lives, why are they encouraging people to wait longer than shorter? I was 40 years old when I was diagnosed, which means that I had some sort of cancer cells before 40. So it just really becomes a very frustrating issue to hear that. And the only reason that I went was because I was 40 and it was time for the test.
Go ahead and tell me a little bit about your story.
I actually felt that something was wrong. I didn't know what it was. And I went to the doctor because I said, you know, something's going on, but I'm 40 and I should be having my mammogram now anyway. So I went, and actually in the beginning, they really didn't think, well, at least they told me, they didn't think anything was really wrong. They you know, they basically said, you know, come back in 3 weeks, and we'll do a couple other things. So we did a mammogram, and then they ultimately had to do the ultrasound. But they only did the ultrasound because something was interesting on the mammogram. I understand a good reason on why they might not want to do mammograms at 40. One is the expense. The other is the challenge of being able to see through the tissue under 40. They say don't do a self-exam. Come on now. We have to live. They're teaching us that we need preventive medicine and procedures are far cheaper and they're far better, and they promote long life. So if you don't want to do the mammogram and then you're discouraging self-exam, what is that costing anybody? What is the harm in somebody doing their own self-exam?
Do you think that you would have survived this disease had you not gone for your routine mammogram?
I know I would not have, because at 40 years old, I was diagnosed with inflammatory breast cancer, which only 3% of the people get that type of cancer. And I was a stage 3B out of 4 right out the box. The whole thing, the biggest thing is prevention and early detection. The earlier that people are able to be diagnosed with not just breast cancer, but any kind of cancer, the longer they can live.
That was Rhonda Santifer, the founder of Celebrate Life Cancer Ministry. Some people think the world is coming to an end in 2012, but to some Oprah Winfrey fans, the end of the world is coming a year early. Oprah Winfrey will announce that her talk show will end in 2011, after its 25th season on air. Tune into The Oprah Show tomorrow to hear it straight from her. Now we check in with Rachel Thomas to find out what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. Rachel?
Thanks, Brittany. Some UC regents are trapped in a building by students who feel cornered into paying higher fees. See incredible video on how the protest has escalated. And 556 flights were delayed across the nation today. Hear who had to wait at LAX. A USC professor got a Hollywood Star Award today. See who's being recognized. Watch ATVN tonight on Trojan Vision.
Thanks a lot, Rachel. That wraps it up for this Thursday. We had help from Karen Marcus, Heather Hope, Ryan Nunez, and Sydney Champion. Hannah Kim is our producer. Timothy Beckworth and Richie Deshawn are executive producers. For all of us at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Brittany Knotts. Have a happy Thanksgiving.